Please join me in prayer. Now, Holy God, may your Spirit be in our hearts and in our minds as we take time from the busyness of our lives to focus on your word, your truth, your love, your grace for us. Lord, speak to us that we might be your saints. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not quite sure what to make of this morning's scripture lesson. Correction, make that, I'm really not sure what to make of this morning's scripture lesson. You see, today is All Saints Sunday around here, which means it's a day to celebrate and remember and give thanks to God for all the many people who have taken upon themselves to embody the love and the grace and the goodness of our God in our lives and in the world around us. And particularly to say thanks to God for those folks whose lives and whose living for us have been examples of faithfulness. It's a day for solemn remembrance and sincere reflection and joyous affirmation. But in the face of that All Saints Sunday thing, we throw this morning's lesson from the book of Jonah. Jonah. I mean, All Saints Sunday is solemn and thoughtful and compassionate. Jonah is snarky and sarcastic and tongue-in-cheek. All Saints Sunday is about remembering people who've dared to tell the old story of God and God's amazing goodness. Jonah is a story about one particular prophet who specifically refused to tell people about the grace and the goodness of God. All Saints Sunday is a day to lift up people who were examples of faithfulness. Jonah, maybe of all the people in the Bible, is the example of the sort of people we are called not to be. What do we make of this stuff? Do you remember the book of Jonah? I mean, beyond the fact that there was this guy that apparently got swallowed by a really big fish. It starts when God calls Jonah to be a prophet, a saint, we might say, to the people of the city of Nineveh. And Jonah's response is, heck no, I won't go. I don't want to be a saint to those people because I really can't stand their guts. Curious factoid here. Does anybody know, perchance, where the ancient city of Nineveh is? Howard is the only one who is aware that the city of Nineveh is the current day city that's all over the news because it's the city of Mosul in Iraq. And kid you not, Mosul, Iraq, is the location of the city that in the ancient world was called Nineveh. Now, Jonah's reaction to his call from God to go to Nineveh isn't too far a cry from what I suspect would be the reaction that we would have if we were called to go to Nineveh ourselves. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to preach to ISIS or Daesh or whatever it is that we're supposed to call those lunatics. I can't stand those people and what they've done to the world in the name of their so-called religion. If any of those death dealers were to actually try to convert, I don't think I could forgive myself. Right? So instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah comes up with another solution. He decides to go where? To a place called Tarshish, to go the other way. God says, go east. Jonah says, I know better. I'm going west. God says, take a hike. Jonah says, I know better. I'll take a boat. God says, go to those people. Jonah says, to heck with those people. Now, would it be fair to call Jonah's behavior to this point anything but saintly? Yeah, maybe. So then what happens? Jonah's on this boat headed west. It's hit by a terrible storm, and the sailors all hit the panic buttons, and they start praying up, or maybe praying down a storm, and they find Jonah. Well, they actually discover him asleep. And they find that he's the cause of what's going on, and they ask him what they should do, and in the end, they have to heave him into the sea. Now, what you got to pay attention to here is who it is that plays the parts of the saints in the story of Jonah. I mean, by at least one Old Testament definition, to be saintly is to be a respecter of life and a respecter of God. Now, who's acting like the saints here? First, the sailors on the ship try the best they can to be respectful of life and respectful of God, even though they don't know how to be. Then the captain of the ship, he attempts to be respectful of life and respectful of God, even though he doesn't know how to be. Well, then again, the sailors, they try to be respectful of life and respectful of God, even though they're willing to risk their own lives to not throw Jonah into the drink. Heck, by the end of that chapter, these pagan sailors are offering up prayers of confession and sacrifices and making vows that are in keeping with the very best of all the biblical conditions. The sailors and the captain of the ship are acting like the way the people of God are supposed to act. And what's Jonah doing? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing that would be described as saintly behavior. Everybody seems to act like a saint but crusty old Jonah. Then after that weird encounter that God has with Jonah in the belly of the really big fish, God comes to Jonah another time and says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah's response is, I'll go, but you can't make me like it. Right? So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. But Jonah didn't have much of a smile on his face. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' walk across. And Jonah began to go into the city, going into day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the people of God believed, the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. Now, we got to unpack that for just a minute. Imagine what's going on here. Jonah waltzes into town. He's got a bad attitude. He probably still reeks of fish. He speaks in Hebrew what amounts to a five-word sermon. 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, there is great debate among biblical scholars and preachers throughout the world whether this is the best or the worst sermon of all time. I kid you not. It was the worst sermon of all time in terms of being engaging and inviting and connecting. I mean, who wants to hear 40 days and your city's going to be flattened? But how do people respond? The people believe. I mean, God sent saints, prophets to God's own people time and time and time again. Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, saints to encourage them, saints to exhort them, saints to plead to them to get their relationship with God right. And yet those saints seem to fail again and again and again. And here's stinky, crusty old Jonah walking into a town he doesn't even know and he really can't stand. And everybody converts. He has a 100% effectiveness rating in his preaching. Yowza! And when the news reached the king of Nineveh, even he rose from his throne, removed his robe, and covered himself in sackcloth and sat in ashes. Now, I'm not one to suggest that any of us have spent any time in the last 15 months thinking about the behavior of those who aspire to being our nation's next leader. But could you imagine either of our primary presidential candidates getting secondhand news of a one-line sentence from a no-name foreigner and actually changing their whole lifestyle, their whole way of living on account of it? Somebody recently begged this question. Which of the two statements in Jonah do you find more implausible? That the king confessed his errors. Kings don't confess their errors, do they, folks? Or that the sheep and the cattle did? But for now, this has got to get to a point. This sermon has to go somewhere. So let me ask you, Jonah, that reluctant prophet, he was confronted with a call he didn't want to respond to. And so he ran. He ran the other way. Did he get away? Do we ever get away from God? You might find this a little bit shocking to hear, but Jesus too was a somewhat reluctant prophet. When he was confronted with a call that demanded so much of him, he too in part wanted to run away. He looked for another way, but in the end he prayed as an example for all of us, Lord, if there is any other way, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross on Calvary any more than Jonah wanted to go to Nineveh. Jonah was afraid that God might be God. I can't wonder if Jesus was afraid that God wouldn't be God. We don't know all that went through Jesus' mind, but we do know this, that the will of God and pleasing God was more important to Jesus than saving his own skin and more important than his own sense of justice and propriety. So maybe this sermon needs to end with just a question or two. Question for others who might be reluctant saints. Questions like this. What is God calling you to be about? To whom might God be calling you to go? Where is your Nineveh? And where is your Tarshish? And maybe this one. What storms are you enduring right now because you're running away from a God who loves you so very much? think on these things. And happy All Saints Day.